Bless the Lord.
And I've heard the old saying, don't come to church, get out, come to get in.
Amen.
Amen.
And I came to get in. Pray for this brother. Pray, Lord, give us open hearts, open ears to hear and receive the word of God.
Amen. You can go and be turning your Bibles to Luke chapter number 2. Book of Luke chapter number 2, and I am mindful that there's another preacher coming, so I'm determined not to keep you long. And now don't come up to me after church tonight and say, well, now you named a preacher that I don't care for in that song, or I don't like, or... Because I'm going to look you in the eyes and say, I don't care. Amen. And so you just be wasting your time. I say that because I've had that happen before. And I just looked at the person and said, I don't care. Amen. You've got your heroes, I've got mine, and that's all right. But I'm thankful for preachers. I'm thankful for preaching. I think there's a danger in trying to say, I like this style of preaching or this personality of preaching. I just like Bible preaching. Amen. Just, man, get something from the Word of God and get a touch of God on you and get up and give it to us. Amen. I like it. I like preaching. I like preachers. And I'm glad and I'm thankful the Lord called me one day. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, I want to begin reading in verse number 41. I hear the pages turning. Y'all get out of the Christmas story. We're going beyond the Christmas story here tonight. But verse 41 of Luke chapter number 2 said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Tonight I want to preach just for a few minutes on those two words right there in verse 45, where it said they were seeking him. I want to preach tonight on seeking him. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the joy it is to be back in your house tonight and what you've done already in these days of meeting. I pray that you'll bless us and help us, Lord. We want to help your people, and we need you to do that. So I pray you'd touch us, give us the words to say. Bless the preaching to come in a little while. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we don't know a lot about the life of Christ as far as his childhood. We know a lot about his birth. And then we read a lot when he shows back up on the scene in at the age of 30, rather, and on through the crucifixion and the resurrection. Thank God for an empty tomb tonight. And we know a lot about that, but we don't know a lot about his childhood. We don't know a lot about his teen years, what we call his formative years. And you could speculate about some things. We do know that he had brothers and sisters. Mary was not a perpetual virgin, amen, in spite of what the Catholic Church teaches, amen. The Bible very clearly says that he had brothers and sisters. How would you like to be a sibling to Jesus? I mean, think about that. I mean, every time you get in trouble, Mama says, why can't you be more like your brother? I'm talking about there was a lot of pressure, y'all. That'd be stressful to be the younger brother or sister of Jesus Christ. Charles Sheldon didn't come up with that thing, what would Jesus do? I'm convinced Mary, probably James, his brother, came to him one day. Mom, can I go do this? Well, what would Jesus do? You say, where's that in the Bible? It's in the white part, amen? Some of y'all get that in a little bit. But here in our text, we get just a small glimpse, a small window into the childhood of Jesus. And in this account, we find that Mary and Joseph have left Jesus behind in Jerusalem. I want you to think about this. This is the Mary who, and I'm not minimizing how special she was, and God chose her. Amen. There's no doubt she was special, but the Catholic Church has given her a place of deity, and they say you have to pray through Mary to get to God. This is Mary that left Jesus. She lost her own son at church. I think I'd rather just pray to God through Jesus. I don't know about you. She lost him. It took her 3 days to find him. And here's what I want to say tonight. He is missing in a lot of places. He's missing in our country. If you think the election in November has fixed America, amen, you're mistaken. Amen. I'm glad the election went the way it did. Now look, y'all, let me clear up a misunderstanding. Not everybody from Arkansas like myself votes for Clintons. I just want y'all to know that. Just want to clear that up. And we ain't all related either. Hallelujah. Most of us don't marry our cousins. Most. But if I'm glad the election went the way it went, but that didn't fix all our problems. I think we got a better chance to do something about it. Hallelujah. He's missing in our homes. You can go to the average home, and I'm talking about people that claim to be saved, born again, washed in the blood. You can go to the average house. You can find a lot of Hollywood. You can find a lot of Nashville. You can find a lot of the world, but there's very little Jesus. And here's the saddest one of all, folks, is the fact that he's missing in a lot of our churches. Amen. Just because it says Baptist and just because it says church on the sign, even if it says independent, fundamental, premillennial, it does not mean that Jesus is around. I only went, Brother Moore, to Harmony Street one time, but the one thing that stood out in my mind, I remember today, is that stained glass window above the baptistry that said, "Welcome, Holy Ghost." I don't think he's welcome in a lot of our churches. And there's not a lot of Jesus, amen, in our churches. And if we're going to have revival, we're going to have him. If people are going to be saved, we're going to have him. If homes and lives are going to be, amen, restored and brought back to him, we're going to have him. But he's missing in a lot of places. And we need him bad. I'm afraid that we have learned how to have church without God. We come to church, we go through our little religious charades, play our little religious games, we sing, we preach, I'm not even talking about the charismatic crowd. I'm not talking about the mega church. I'm talking about us tonight. We've learned how to go through the motions and have church without God. That ought to bother us. That ought to shake us up a little bit tonight. Several things, and I'm going to sit down. Number one, we see the realization of Christ's absence. If you're ever going to start seeking Him again, first of all, you're going to have to realize He ain't there. Now, let me say tonight, you can lose Jesus. Now, don't get nervous. I didn't say you can lose your salvation. Amen. I'm glad for the doctrine of eternal security. Amen. But you can sure get out of fellowship. You know, it is possible to be in the family and still not be in fellowship. Maybe if you don't believe that, go to a family reunion in the South. Amen. You can find that out to be true real quick. But it's the same way in the family of God. You can still be in the family but not be in fellowship with the Father. You can get away from His presence. You can lose His power. I understand tonight that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us and He is there to stay. Amen. But there is that fullness of the Spirit, the Spirit-filled life, and you can get away from that and you can be empty and dry. There's a couple problems I see here in our text. I see the problem of assumption. They said there in verse 44, but they, supposing Him to have been in the company, they just assumed He was there. We better be careful about this thing of assumption. How often do we just come through the doors and we haven't prayed? We haven't talked to God? We hadn't read our Bibles and let Him talk to us? We sit at home and just, engulf ourselves with the things of the world, from the television, from the radio, and everything else. We just feed ourselves with all this junk, and then we think we can walk through those doors, and something magical is just going to happen. This ain't a magical thing. We're talking about supernatural things we're looking for, amen, that come only from God, and He's looking for a people that come hungry and come holy before Him. I got good news. Maybe you didn't live the best you could today, but you can get it right. Amen. You can come to an altar tonight and you can get back in fellowship. Amen. Amen. You don't have to stay away from Him. We better be careful about going out here like Samson did back there in Judges and just assuming that the power and the strength is going to be there when we're completely away from God. There's the problem of assumption. It'd do good tonight to take note of the fact that Mary did not lose Jesus at a nightclub or at a beer joint. She lost Him at the temple. You know, you can be sitting here tonight in a church service, in a revival meeting on Tuesday night, and be out of fellowship with the Lord. Brother Morgan, I'm reminded of Eutychus over there in Acts Acts chapter number 20, and the Bible said that Paul was preaching, said he was long preaching. Brother Moore, we got scripture for long-winded preaching. Hallelujah. It's something we got a verse. Hallelujah. Hey, it said he was long preaching, and it was in the midnight hour. Now, I'm purposed tonight not keep you till the midnight hour, but he was preaching, and it was midnight. And the Bible said Eutychus was up there in the window, and the Bible said he fell asleep and he fell out of the window. Was Eutychus at church? Yeah. Was he under the sound of the preaching? Yep. You know what Brother Sammy Allen said, though? He said the problem with Eutychus, he was more out than he was in. You can be sitting in revival meeting tonight and be a million miles from here. You know what tonight? Let's just be honest. There's been a lot of vacations planned sitting in church. There's been a lot of checkbooks balanced sitting in church. People clip their fingernails in church. That's just nasty, y'all. I mean, you know, we're trying to have revival. Clip, clip, clip. I mean, we're to a different church every week. Sometimes two or three churches in a week. And here we are. I march in with our family. And we're hunting to see them. Like, let's see. Oh, wait, man, there's fingernail clippings there. And then we wonder where the power of God is. We wonder why revival tarries. Amen. You can be sitting here tonight and your mind be a long, long way away. I say it's time to get in this thing. You want to have revival? Let's get our hearts all the way in this thing. Quit playing games, amen, because you ain't fooling God. You may fool the preacher. You may fool mom and daddy, but you are not going to fool God Almighty. Not only the problem of assumption, but there's the problem of apathy. It said they went a day's journey. I mean, they've gone a whole day on their trip and haven't even taken note to see if he's even there in their midst. There's a lack of concern. They're just not even concerned about it. And how often do we go through our lives just not even concerned about the things of God? We go day after day after day. We bring our Bibles to church and then we just throw them in the back seat of the car. We throw them on the coffee table. We take no thought about reading it, studying it. We take no time to pray. And then we try to justify it. Well, the Lord knows I don't have time. You got time for Facebook. And all the other social media apps. And I'm not preaching against that. Well, what I am saying, if that's more important to you than your Bible, you're away from Him and you're out of fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. We got to make sure priorities are what they need to be. Amen. It's just a lack of concern. You know, it's a sad day anymore. I'm talking about in the South. It's a sad day when you have to schedule your revival meeting around the local ball game. And I'm for ball, man. I'm all for boys getting sweaty and dirty. Somebody say amen. Y'all remember when boys used to play outside? Does anybody remember those days? Nowadays they break a sweat. It's like, I got to come in, Mom. I'm sweating a little bit. That's good for them. Hallelujah. I'm for sports, but let me tell you, I'm for revival more than I am for sports. Amen. This ought to come first. This ought to get the priority. We've got all these distractions out here that have got our minds off the things of God. There's a lack of concern, but I see that there was a lack of communication. I mean, all they would have had to have done was, you know, Jesus, He ain't there. So it's very clear that they were not communicating with Him. And it's sad when we can go day after day. I'm talking about the children of God. We can go day after day and never pick that Bible up. Never communicate with God through prayer. We come to church and sing about how great it is to pray and the power of prayer, and then we very seldom avail ourselves to it. And then we wonder, where'd he go? Where's he at? There's a lack of concern, a lack of communication, but I think another problem could have been that they were being led by their custom. It did say back up in verse number 41 that his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And in verse 42, it talked about the custom of the feast. They're just going with the custom. And let me say tonight, I'm not against a custom or a tradition. Amen. If it's a Bible tradition, hey, I'm for it.
Amen.
If it's a Bible tradition, I'm for it. But look at here. If your tradition or your custom leads you away from Jesus, something's wrong.
Yes,
and I'm really not interested in how Grandpa did it 100 years ago if it ain't Bible. Amen. If it's got you away from the presence of God and the power of God, I want to go with Jesus every time. I'm more interested in God. I'm more interested in the Bible than I am your little tradition. I know that don't go over well in the South. I understand that. But it's still the truth. Amen. There are a lot of churches. I'm talking about independent Bible-believing Baptist churches that hadn't had a move of God, hadn't felt the Holy Ghost in 50 years because they're hung up on some goofy, silly tradition. It's time to forget all about that and go to seeking Him.
Amen.
That's what we need. The realization of Christ's absence, but secondly, the results of Christ's absence. I see that it stopped their journey. It said in verse number 45, and when they found Him not, at least they're looking for Him now, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now they've already gone a day on their journey and now they've got to turn around and go a day back to look for Him. It stopped their journey. Now look at here, y'all, we ain't going to get very far without Him.
Amen.
It will stop your journey.
Yes, sir.
Now there's two ways I could go right here tonight. I could talk about the folly of sin and the foolishness of sin and how you can get out and live a worldly lifestyle and get away from God, and that will stop your journey.
Yes,
but I don't think that's the crowd I'm preaching to tonight. So let me give you the other side of that thing. You can be busy in the church. But if He ain't around, you ain't going to go very far.
Amen.
There can be a lot of activity in the church and you not be going anywhere.
Yep.
We got a lot of churches today. I mean big churches. I mean King James Bible, old time singing. I mean, you know, soul winning, bus running. I mean a lot of activity. Busy, busy, busy. But there ain't much Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I'm for all those things. Man, we ought to be going out reaching folks on through the bus ministries and knocking doors and all those passing out tracts. Amen. We ought to be busy for the Lord. We shouldn't be lazy Christians, but you can be doing it in the power of the flesh, but at some point you'll burn out. You may go for a while. You know what? Y'all remember them hamsters running on them little wheels? Just a lot of squeak, a lot of noise, a lot of activity, and they ain't going nowhere. A lot of independent Baptist churches like that. I mean, busting out the seams. I mean, got the place crowded out. They know how to go get them and build a church, but there ain't a lot of Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
A lot of activity, but very little unction. You like that little hamster just spinning the wheel. We're spinning our wheels and going nowhere. Now, there's a lot of preachers here tonight. Let me say this. You might be here, and you may be the other extreme of that. You may have a martyrdom complex. You know, you got 10 people, and that's the way you like it. You think that's the way... Amen. And let me say, you can have your 10 people and God still not be there too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've met Brother Morgan. I've met that side too. You know, they think the less crowd they have, the more spiritual they are. That ain't always the truth. Stopped their journey, but I see that it stopped their joy. It said in verse number 48, when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast Thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And they lost their joy. And you get away from Jesus, you'll lose your joy. Do you know the only kind of true joy there is in Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. The world will offer you temporary happiness. It's temporary peace, but it don't last very long. Amen. But I'm glad when I got saved, amen, I got something better than happiness. Amen. I got joy, and life may not always be great. It may be ups and downs, and that's about the way it goes. But you hear me? With Jesus, there is joy. And if you get away from Him, you're going to lose your joy. Happiness is circumstantial. Amen. Happiness can change from day to day, but God gives us something a whole lot better. He gives us joy. You get away from Him, ain't going to be no joy. Amen. You can go down to the bar and get you a fix. You can go down, amen, get you some dope and get you a fix, amen. And it might last for a little while, but the problems will be back, and then you'll just have even more problems on top of that. But I'm glad God can give you something that's a whole lot better than anything the world has to offer, amen. You say, where's the joy in our churches? It left when Jesus left.
Amen.
It'll stop your joy. They lost Jesus in one day. One day. You know, you can do something in 24 hours that'll mess you up for 3 days, 3 years, or even a lifetime. Last thing I want us to see tonight is their return to Christ. Notice their reaction in verse number 48. It said, "And when they saw him, they were amazed." Now, I really don't know why they were so amazed that, first of all, they found him in the temple. It said it took them a day to get back to Jerusalem and a whole day to find him. I would have thought, being Jesus, the temple would have been the first place they'd have looked. Go to church. That seems like a good place where Jesus should be. And then when they saw him asking all these questions, they were amazed. It just shows how out of touch they were. They didn't know where to look for him, and when they did find him, they were amazed at what he was doing. But then I also see that Mary was aggravated. Again, in verse 48, it said, "And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Brother Moore, they get back to him, and that's great. But then when they do get to him, she's going to try to throw it off on him. I mean, he's Jesus. He's perfect. He doesn't do any wrong. And she's going to get aggravated with him, try to make it out like his fault. Could I give you some good advice tonight? First of all, if you're looking around and he ain't there, you need to start seeking him. Amen. And an altar is a good place to start.
Right.
It'll probably need to go way beyond the altar, but it's a good place to start. But when you do come down here, don't try to start blaming it on him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Don't come down here with your excuses.
Yeah.
When our Lord, now you know that...
Amen.
You might push him further away.
Amen.
We like to play that victim card, don't we? That's real popular in our society today. Everybody's just a victim. Well, the reason, you know, I robbed that store and did that, and the reason I killed that person is because mom and dad got a divorce when I was a kid, and I was raised in this rough environment, and this and that. No, why don't you just accept responsibility and admit you robbed that store because you're sorry?
That's real good. Amen.
Amen. But we do the same thing with the Lord. We get involved in sin, and it's like, well, now, Lord, you know that you cannot justify your sin and carnality. I can't either. It cannot be justified. So if you're going to come to Him, you need to get honest with Him. Don't get aggravated. He's Jesus. He's perfect. It's not His fault that we got away. Amen. Just accept responsibility. But notice his response in verse 49, and I'm winding down. It said, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" She tried to bring up Joseph as his father in verse 48. And he brought up his father in verse 49. Now here's what I want you to see. In verse 49, that's the first recorded words of Jesus in the Word of God. Now he's 12 years old. I have no doubt he spoke many more words than that by this point, but it's the first recorded words that we have. And he talks about his Father's business. Now I want you to look very quickly, look over to John chapter number 19. In John chapter 19, we have the last words that he spoke before he died on the cross. Here we have Jesus hanging on the cross, taking my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world upon himself, becoming sin for us. And he's about to breathe his last breath. And in verse number 30, it said, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." You know what? That's the last words before he died on the cross. And they had to do with his Father's business. That "it is finished." You say, what was it? His Father's business.
Amen.
Here's my point tonight. I believe that if we'll get back in fellowship with Him, get back at the feet of Jesus, I believe that we will be interested in His Father's business. If you can go through, if we can go through our day, day after day, and there's no concern for lost people, there's no burden for lost souls, we don't even care. We come in contact. You right now, you could probably think of somebody's face at the local gas station or at the local Walmart or somebody you work with, somebody you go to school with. You see them day after day, but there's just no concern about whether they're going to heaven or hell. I would say that's a good indication that you have got very far away from Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you're in fellowship with Him, you're going to be interested in His Father's business. Listen tonight, I don't care. I don't care how loud you shout at the camp meeting. If you ain't interested in souls, something's wrong. I don't care how much you know about the Bible, how much knowledge you have of the Scripture. If you're not interested in souls, you ain't right with God. Amen. I don't care if you're not burdened about missions and getting missionaries to the foreign field. Maybe God hasn't called you to go, but He has called every one of us to do the job of helping to send them. Amen. If you're not concerned about that, something is wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
I would say you're away from the Lord and not where you need to be. Now the old song said this, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That line said, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. But you know the other side of that is true. The more we turn our eyes to the world and all just the distractions of the world, He'll grow strangely dim. God help us. I would say this tonight. If you can look back on your day, I'm talking about today. If you can look back on it and there wasn't much Jesus, you need to go to seeking Him.
Amen.
And if we'll go to seeking Him, there ain't no telling what He might do right here in this place.
Amen.
This night, amen, there ain't no telling.
Amen.
If we'll first of all just realize He ain't there and then start seeking Him.
Amen.
Brother Morgan, you come.
On that altar there. You go ahead and lead us in the
table. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Sister Moore is going to come sing a song of invitation. The preacher's on the altar. I would say there's probably more than him that just needs to be on the altar tonight. I'm serious. If you're looking around and you just there ain't a lot of Jesus in your life, you need to go to seeking Him. And He's not hiding. He just wants you to come get at His feet. He'll help you tonight if you need to come. As she sings tonight, you mind the Lord.
He compels me to go when I would rather stay. He sent me a valley once again today, my self-determined will, He keeps tearing it apart. But when the work's completed, I'll have a servant's heart. I want a servant's heart, and I will gladly bear the markings of one held captive yet free. For it's not my will but Thine, for Lord, servant's heart. More and more, Lord, I see that there's a work that I must do.
I'm
so
sure
Father,
more
would You find me faithful?
You just need to seek Him.
Trusting only You.
I tell you, it ain't hard to find Him if you get to seek Him. Is that taking that first step? That's the hardest part. Would you take that step tonight?
There you